dentistry does not define us. The interactions with people define us. And for me, technology has allowed me to interact with people on a scale that I never imagined, whether it's education or doing this podcast or treating my patients or my family or team members. But my identity is not tied to dentistry. Welcome to the Digital Smile Hub, the podcast that is dedicated to making clinical dentistry simple. Join us as we decode the complexities of dental care by providing actionable insights into the diverse aspects of clinical practice, the latest trends, and the newest technologies. Whether you're a seasoned clinician or just starting out of dental school, listen in on engaging discussions, expert interviews, and a wealth of tips and tricks to enhance your clinical workflows. So turn up that volume and get ready to transform your clinical practice with the Digital Smile Hub. And now, here's your host, Dr. Tim Anderson. Hey, everybody. Welcome. I'm Dr. Tim Anderson. And I got to admit, it's been a little bit. We've been really solid of like solid episodes every week. And I ghosted you guys and I didn't explain why. And usually most of us are accustomed to having a guest on the podcast here that every week. But I'm going to take a step back, kind of like we did the very first week where you're stuck with me tonight and or today, whenever you're listening to this. But what I wanted to kind of dive into a little bit was where have I been? What have I been doing? Why has the podcast been stagnant for the last couple of weeks? Be rest assured that the podcast is not going anywhere. We have tons of episodes and guests lined up. It's just there's a lot going on. And I think it's important to understand, especially come to the end of the year, everybody's got stuff going on. But I wanted to get back to reality. I'm a normal human and I wanted to give you guys a little insight into what's going on in my life. And so that way you have a little understanding of like, where have you been, man? Because I'm super excited to be back. Tonight's episode, I was excited because I'm like, we talk about so many different topics when we're teaching courses. And I was asking some people online of like, hey, what's going on? Or like, we're coming to end of the year. So where everybody's talking about like end of the year numbers and things we're doing for resolutions and things new for next year. Like what's going on in 25? And I wanted to talk about a few things that I see with regards to dentistry with moving the needle forward. And more importantly, when I talk to so many attendees at our courses and people that are just excited to integrate technology in their office and we're talking about clinical dentistry, inevitably I get the same questions. And honestly, I started to ask, I'm like, God, this is a great topic for a podcast. From the standpoint of I get asked the same things regarding the barriers to integrating technology. Because so many people see myself or others around them or Instagram or everything, and they're like, oh, that's not me, or these guys are doing technology and look what it's doing for their practice, but that's not my practice. That's not reality. These guys aren't doing dentistry. And so I wanted to take a step back of like, hey, what are some of the barriers that are really getting in the way from all of us accomplishing and achieving the highest level of success that we can within our practice? And inevitably, when I kept asking these questions to individuals, I kept getting the same like three or four responses. And so I'm like, this is a great time to talk about this. And more importantly, this is a great time to talk about it because it really is more of a self-reflection on ourselves, our practices, personally and professionally. And it really drove home a couple life lessons that I've really taken to heart recently. So as I mentioned earlier, like I've been gone. I've been missing for a couple of weeks. And it's because my life got turned upside down in a way that I was not ever expecting in a million years. And so about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago, really it started 3 months ago in September, because for those of you who don't know, I am a fanatic about Halloween. I freaking love Halloween. Everything Halloween, all things Halloween. I love it. It is my favorite holiday without a doubt. And it has grown into this crazy thing. It's like dentistry. Like I look at like my own practice, like things started slow. We got like digital radiographs and then we got an intraoral scanner and then all of a sudden we get a cone beam and then we get 3D printers and intraoral scanners and all of a sudden like things explode. Halloween has been the same thing. It started off with like having like friends that we're all like, hey, we all have kids the same age. Let's have a party for our kids. And parents are all going to hang around and have a beverage or two. And we all hang out. And that evolved over time into something I never anticipated because I found out I really enjoyed it. And so it started off as just like decorating a little bit, like dressing up and going to a friend's house, became like, hey, come to our house. And then our house, I'm like, well, if we're having people over, we got to decorate. And I want to win decorating, you guys. I'm like, I want to go all out. And so we decorated the inside of the house and it became this really fun thing. And I'm like, wait a minute, if I can do this on the inside, what could I do on the outside? And my wife just rolled her eyes. And so then I started decorating my porch. And then I'm like, wait a minute, I see these cool things on like Spirit of Halloween and some of these are Halloween stores. They got these little animatronic things. I'm like, I'm going to buy a couple of those. And then I bought a fog machine and then I bought a couple black lights. And then what turned into a couple lights turned into hundreds of lights, turned into five fog machines, turned into, I don't know, 40 animatronics that ranged from a couple $100 to a couple $1,000s. And now I'm into it for about, my wife and I agreed not to even talk about it because it's become an issue in our marriage because I love Halloween. So we're coming up this year to Halloween. And mind you guys, Halloween takes me about 2 months to set up in order for me to get there. So I start September 1st and we start going. It's go time. Outside yard, go time. Everybody else says the spring is still here. Grass is up. I'm setting up Halloween stuff. And the reason I set up in September is because my wife refuses to park outside until October 1st. She's like, I will not park outside in North Dakota. By October, it's snowing usually or cold. And so she's unwilling to do it. So like when October 1st hits, it's go time on the inside of the garage. And our Halloween haunt has started from our outside of the house or inside of the house to the outside of the house to the garage to now the backyard. Through the backyard, out to my neighbor's yard, into my front yard again. And so it has evolved to the point where like my wife doesn't even want to talk to me during those months, but we love it. And this was a big year because this was the last year we're living in this house. And so what turned out to be like a couple hundred trick-or-treaters our first year has turned into damn near 1,000 trick-or-treaters. Like, it's crazy. It's stupid. We get people with video cameras that come through. It's a ton of fun. It's so much fun. But we knew this year was going to be the last year. And so I'm like really focused, like doing all this stuff. And one of my buddies, my best friend in the world, calls me like 2 weeks before Halloween. He's like, hey, what are you doing? I'm like, dude, I'm in the crunch time, man. I'm like, what's going on here? This is like go time. And so I'm sitting there hanging bloody tarps and cloth in my butcher scene. And he's like, hey, you got a second to talk? I'm like, that's weird. That's really emotional for you. And you're not super emotional, but okay, let's talk. And mind you, like, this is the guy, like, I've known forever. He's my best friend. I've known him since eighth grade. We do a lot of events. He lives in Colorado. And every year we plan a week-long trip to go mountain biking somewhere in the country. And so this year, or this coming year, 2025, we're like, we're going, and we all, four of us, signed up for a seven-day stage race in British Columbia. It's called the BC Bike Race. Just Google it. It's freaking awesome. And it's been on our bucket list for a while. And so we all signed up for it to do it. Not a cheap race, but going to be a fun race. And he calls me and he's like, hey, man, I think I'm out for BC. I'm like, what? And so immediately I'm thinking he got hurt. He did something stupid. He's hurt. And so I'm like, all right, man, what's going on? And he goes, dude, I got a brain tumor. I'm like, what? And mind you, he didn't have all these crazy symptoms or anything like that. He literally, like, last year he complained about like some weakness. That was it. And he wasn't recovering. And we just all chalked it up to him being out of shape. But he's like, no, I got a brain tumor. I'm like, okay. And then that was like where our conversation ended. It was like, it totally didn't hit me. And then I went to bed that night and I woke up and I'm like, wait a minute, we got to rehash this. I called him back and we talked. And then he sent me the MRI. And sometimes in dentistry, you guys, we know too much. I know how to read an MRI. I don't know how to read an MRI, but I'm very aware of what a CT and an MRI looks like. And when I see a massive 7 centimeter by 7 centimeter radiopacity in what should be radiolucent-ish diffuse brain tissue, I know something's wrong. So he had a massive tumor. And when I'm saying massive, it's the size of a baseball. So, of course, in brain tumors, everybody goes down to glioblastoma, which has an awful prognosis, like literally months to live. But based on the size of his tumor and the lack of symptoms, that everybody was pretty confident. And by everybody, I mean people that are way smarter than me, that it was not that. So then it became, we don't know what it is. But we knew that he was going to require some major surgery and some stuff that really we could. Who knows what's going on? I want to happen. So this all is happening in November. Totally derailed me because I got to finish Halloween, you guys. Halloween is, this is the year, which it was amazing. Halloween was amazing. Don't get me wrong. But in the back of my mind, when life gives you a gut punch, it just sticks with you. And my best friend is an anesthesia or a nurse anesthetist. He's very proud of that. He's a very good nurse anesthetist. He's super smart and he's very talented at what he does. But it's became his identity. And we're going to talk a little bit about that later. But it really has become who he identifies as. And this tumor rocked his world. He also has a 7-year-old kid, a wife, and he's the main income earner and all that kind of stuff. So this kind of rocked me hard. And so I'm not going to lie, the podcast took a little bit of a backseat from the standpoint of I couldn't unthink this stuff. So I spent the last week in Colorado with my buddy as he underwent a massive brain surgery. I hung out with him and his family, and he made it through surgery. Surgery went really, really well. He's still not out of the woods. He's still struggling with certain deficits. His right eye is pretty much shot, which we knew ahead of time. But it's one of those things that it puts things in perspective. And so coming into the new year, I was like, all right, let's talk about some stuff that really inhibited, because I get excited about the new year of what's to come. What are we going to do? And like I said, there's so many barriers to integration of everything, or barriers to like why we can't do things. And my buddy's story and his struggles just reminded me of like, got to get rid of the excuses and start moving forward. Like control what you can control and manage what you can't. Like, honestly, like, that's what it comes down to. And so for me, when I saw his struggles, all that, and I started hearing everybody like, oh, I can't do this. I can't. I'm like, push it. You can do this. And so I wanted to talk about tonight some of the barriers that I hear. And so when it comes to integrating technology and advancing your skill set in dentistry, I literally hear the same things. And the number one thing with regards to technology, I kid you not, comes down to cost. And that kills me. Like literally the number one reason people say they can't integrate technology, they can't move forward with CE or whatever, is like it costs too much. And I think honestly, this ties down to we really need to rethink how and the way we look at ROI. Because if we look at like a scanner is a great example of this. If the ROI to you is how many more crowns I can sabotage from my lab, you're missing the point. That's not the value. The value is utilizing that digital data and unlocking it and doing things with it, whether that's a surgical guide, whether that's an implant planning, whether that's ortho and aligners, whether that's a full mouth rehab, whether that's navigating the canals of endo. Like there's so many different things that you can utilize digital data for that is not tied to like, hey, I'm replacing stone. And we see the same thing with whether it's cone beam or whether it's 3D printing. Like 3D printing, like I get really passionate about 3D printing, and 3D printing drives me nuts because A, 3D printing is probably the lowest hanging fruit from the standpoint of capital equipment within dental office. Like it really is one of the least expensive things we buy. Yet I have more individuals that are like, it's too expensive. I can't do that. I'm like, you had no problem spending $60,000 on a mill or $10,000 on an oven, but you have a problem with additive manufacturing, which you don't have in your office at all, that costs $12,000-$15,000 total. So it's just one of those things. But when we look at it like, oh, this additive manufacturing replaces stone, we're missing the point of like, no. This additive manufacturing changes our workflow of how we do dentistry, how we see dentistry, how we do digital dentures, how we do same-day dentistry, how we do in-office surgical guides, how we do in-office aligners, how we do in-office mock-ups and digital wax-ups, like temporaries, flippers, like provisional restorations, final restorations, like you name it. Like these technologies unlock the workflows and the capabilities that we have to move beyond just the basic ROI of like what that means. And the other aspect of, okay, can I afford it, or it costs too much, I should say, is people struggle with understanding how to afford it. And part of it is like, look at how we pay for everything. Like, we pay for our entertainment in monthly installments, Netflix, Hulu, Paramount Plus, Disney Plus, HBO. That's how we pay for everything. How we buy a car, how we buy a house, how we buy a boat. Like, we live in a culture of monthly installments. So when it comes to buying a $100,000 piece of equipment or $10,000 piece of equipment in our practice, if your cash flow within your practice can't support that, A, dive into why. Why can't your practice? Because I think that's a bigger question. But two, when you look at that, like, if you're putting all your resources to paying off your just your student debt or doing these things, like, look at how we can make things affordable to move the needle in a bigger picture. Because it may be more advantageous to figure out some form of financing to add in-office milling to your practice, because that has an ROI that is exponentially bigger than your 50 or your BMW or your Tesla that makes $0. Yet you have zero issue with financing that, but we have an issue with financing dental equipment that literally makes money. So I think sometimes with regards to the financing, like, we also need to look at it from our patient standpoint of like, why our patients can't, or why our patients say no to treatment sometimes is tied to we don't have a financial menu to make it easy for them to say yes. Same thing with our dental equipment. Like, sometimes we just need to finance it. And a lot of time our third-party partners, Patterson, Shine, Banco, they often have really, really good financing options, especially this time of year, with regards to like 0% interest or whatever it is. Don't let the cost of technology be the barrier if it fits your why. If you truly see and have a vision of how this technology is going to integrate, don't let the cost of technology be the barrier. When I get asked that, like, well, the cost, I would like to give some things. So, A, first off, third-party financing, look at that. Number two, start with technology that is foundational. And what I mean by that is look at technology that builds upon itself. If you are technology agnostic, or you don't have any technology in your office, I will say the number one thing, without a doubt, and I will argue this to the end of the earth with any dentist on the planet, the number one piece of technology you need to get is a digital camera, without a doubt. Photography will open the door for more dentistry. And more advanced and emotional-based dentistry drives the bottom line, the revenue to afford all the fancy other equipment. But photography becomes the most cost-effective fundamental way to integrate technology into your practice. The second thing that I would argue is, and you could go both ways, because it's like, is it the chicken or the egg, is cone beam versus intraoral scanning. And I will say, personally, I did it wrong. I got intraoral scanning first because it was sexy and I wanted to do it and I wanted to do same day dentistry. But what I didn't realize was everything that I didn't see. And cone beam allows you to see everything that you couldn't do. Intraoral scanning, I can do most everything with intraoral scanning that if I have impression material. Like, I can capture that data. I cannot capture a 3D image radiographically of my patients without a cone beam. It's not even possible. And it doesn't matter if you're doing endo, it doesn't matter if you're doing implants, it's the foundational technology that helps move the needle forward from diagnostics. For every one of those limited exams that you're trying to figure out what the pain or the tooth is coming from, whether you do the endo or not, it opens the door to allow you to do more endo. It allows you to open the door to do more of that basic implant dentistry and opens the door for implant dentistry. It opens the door for airway. It opens the door for all this aspect within dentistry. And I will tell you, from a person who's been using cone beam for many years, that cone beam is exponentially easier to enter than a Panorex or an orthopentomogram. So don't let the scary nature of, I don't know how to read a cone beam, get in the way. It is easier to read that than all these superimposed images and grayscales of a Panorex. So start with photography and then look at intraoral scanning or CBCT. That's going to be my recommendation. The number two barrier that I often will hear to why I can't implement new technology into my office is the learning curve. And that one shocks me because that's, for me, that was always the exciting part. It was like something new I get to do. I'm sorry, you guys, but when I got out of dental school, I loved class twos. And now I hate them. And I used to love single unit crowns. And now I'm like, it just doesn't, like, I'm not fulfilled by what that provides me anymore. And it's because your skill set evolves. And so the learning curve is the exciting part. That should be the fun part. Like, we don't want to be just drill, fill, bill, mills. We want to be able to advance our careers. So part of the issue with the learning curve is the fear of the unknown. It's like, hey, I don't want to be a lab technician. I don't want to learn this software. I don't want to like learn all these new workflows. And what I will challenge you to is go into things with an open mind, because if you keep doing the things the same way, nothing changes. And if you are so happy in your life and what you're doing right now, and you're towards the end of your career, man, just ride it out. I'm totally fine with that. But for those of you that are young in your career, if you're like, man, I really like what I'm doing. I'm doing a ton of class twos, funnel fillings, single tooth extractions. Like, what I will tell you is you will outgrow that. And if you don't start building a foundational knowledge base and an ecosystem that allows you to grow, you will get very frustrated and you will be outpaced by your peers. And that's not a scare tactic. It's just reality. It's reality of business. It's reality of entrepreneurship. It's like you want to keep moving forward. And I'm a big advocate of advocating for delegating everything that is not within your scope should be delegated to somebody that can legally. So if somebody else can do it in your practice, they should be doing it. You shouldn't be doing it. And I'm not going to say that I'm the perfect person on this, because I'm definitely not. But it's one of those things we want to work on. The other issue with regards to learning curve is that so many of our clinicians, they'll talk about the workflow. Like, my team won't do it, or I have an ecosystem that works really well and this is going to slow me down or whatever, or it's just hard to change. And my challenge to that is that look at any Olympic or professional athlete. Part of the growth is the struggle, the pain, the effort, the exhaustion. Like, you don't become an NFL linebacker or quarterback by not working hard and getting beat down here and there. Like, that's just part of what we do. We, them, what they do. And so in dentistry, it's really no different. If you want to move forward within your practice, within your clinical skill set, you're going to get into these situations that it's hard and it's going to fail and it's going to suck. That's just part of the process of growth. And for those of you that have kids, you can really start understanding like how all of this works and plays out, because your kids do the same thing. They struggle. And part of it is you have to let them struggle. That's how they learn. That's how they grow. But I love the concept, and I'll never forget, like, I don't even know who it was. They told me that what they strive to do as a leader is, I want to give you a safe place to fail. And that resonated so hard with me, because you learn through your failures. But if you're not in a safe environment to fail, you're never going to grow. And you're never going to push the envelope of being great. You're just going to be good. And good doesn't go anywhere. Greatness is built on those failures. And that's what gets exciting when you're in an environment or an ecosystem that supports your team, you professionally, anybody, to start feeling comfortable pushing limits. Your patients are cool with it. You're cool with it. Like, it gets so exciting. So don't let that become a barrier. You're going to have to just push through it. But working through some of those ecosystems is tough. Now, like I said, that learning curve is barrier. So what are some of the solutions to this? One of the things is like, oh my gosh, there's more free education nowadays than has ever been available. Like, people always say, Tim, how'd you learn photography? I kid you not, I learned photography through YouTube. You heard it. free YouTube. I never took a course. I never had a crazy mentor that like told me all the settings to use or like literally just acquired information from YouTube. Like, hey, I like your photos. How'd you do it? I'm going to watch your YouTube channel. How'd you do it? How do you do your video editing? How do you do that? How did I get in 3D printing? Like Baron Grutter put out more content on YouTube than anybody. Dive into his crap. Like it was like YouTube is this wealth of information of you can pick and choose. And there's so much good quality free content. What also amazing is this new concept of app-based learning. And I've seen it with like Implant Pathway does this with Justin Moody. 3D Dentist does this, like Tarun, T-Bone, and Sully, and all of us. Like this app-based concept, we're going to have a platform where everybody can have a community and then we're going to provide content and certain things are paid, some are not. It like gives you the ability as a clinician to pick and choose what you want to do. Like CDocs pioneered that. Like that was the whole concept of CDocs. Pay a subscription and you get all this free content, free, quote unquote. But it was more about the community. That's what it was about. And so we live in this environment of digital technology or digital data that allows us the opportunity to acquire more content than has ever been possible, which makes our learning curve just fly through the roof. So the learning curve, really easy. The other thing that I will challenge everybody on is the biggest mistake I see dentists make with regards to new technology. Now, I'm going to reiterate this. The biggest mistake I see any dentist make with regards to integrating new technology is they do not involve their team in the education process. I kid you not, it is that simple. If you bring your team or go to education platforms that encourage team involvement, you will statistically be exponentially more successful in integrating that technology than if you did not incorporate your team. It is so simple. It is such a simple concept. Bring your team. It is so simple. But it's the number one thing people fail to do because we're cheap dentists and we don't want to bring our team. We don't want to pay for a flight or we don't pay for a hotel. But then we get back to the office and we don't understand why everybody's not excited about integrated technology or why they don't get the inflow or workflows, why they don't understand the armamentarium, why they don't understand any of this because they weren't there. And you, dentist, are not a good articulator of all the content that you got excited and absorbed because it's so new to you. Like you can't. Like one thing I learned about education was like, you're not a really good educator unless you feel like you're a good expert in that content topic. You can't fake it till you make it. Like you've got to feel confident that you are really, really good about that material before you just jump into it. So I will argue that bringing your team is probably one of the best things you can possibly do for your practice or yourself. All right. Third thing, barriers to integrating all this crap, you guys, time. We are too busy as dentists, and this one drives me insane because we think we're too busy. We're not too busy. We have scheduling problems, and we make ourselves too busy. And then we're like, hey, I've got an ecosystem that works, and I just don't want to change this because whatever. And the concept of like, oh, it's going to slow me down. Like when I hear people talk about like, I want to schedule in minutes or like I can, if I do a Sarah crown, then I can, while it's milling, I can do four other fillings or I can do another crown. I'm like, that sounds awful. The key with entrepreneurial wealth and expansion is when you start moving beyond your individual time. Dentists, when you move beyond you being the limiting factor of the time and the production of within your practice, that's when things really start changing. When you have team members that can produce, when you have other people within your practice that can operate and create while you're not there or while you're in the office doing other things, that's what starts moving the needle. So Dell is critically important. And here's the amazing part about technology. Almost every single digital technology is built on a foundation of team integration, meaning it has really been designed from the ground up to be better worked by somebody other than you, the dentist, the person having to cut the teeth. Whether that's digital designing, whether that's fabrication, whether that's maintenance of the equipment, like all of these things are team-driven exercise. And I'm telling you, like your team gets inspired by this because then all of a sudden they're not spit suckers. Like, they get really behind this. The other thing with regards to how we overcome the time barriers, you know, delegating to the team is one aspect, but the other thing I really advocate for is mentorship. Finding people that get it and do it that can help you along the way. That has been pivotal for me. When I look at whether it's my implant journey, whether that's been my digital dental journey, like having those people that help me along the way has allowed me to advance faster. I get so excited when I get to talk to newer clinicians that are just integrating, you know, whether it's digital smile design or 3D printing or digital dentures or whatever it is. And I get to see them grow and move in 6 to 12 months faster than it took me 3 years. Like, nothing brings me more joy. Like, when I get to see people become better at the thing I'm teaching than I am, that is amazing. And we're going to bring somebody on here. Actually, I think it might be next week. It might be the week after, but we're going to bring on somebody who is a team member who has outpaced me on digital design. And it brings me so much joy because she was originally an attendee at one of our courses. And I get joy on this, but it's also, it should be inspiring. All of us should try to find a mentor. If you don't have mentors in your life, I need you to understand this. They, meaning the mentors, will not come to you. You have to reach out to somebody. You have to leech onto them and say, hey, can you help me with this? I would love to shadow you. Can I come hang out in your office? That is how you find a mentor. And I promise you, those people will say yes. They will every single time. And that is it. Like, when that clicked for me, I can't just sit around and wait for somebody to ask, like, hey, Tim, do you want to come to my office to learn how to do this? That's the way my personality is. Like, I'm an introvert. So I'm like, come talk to me. I don't want to talk to you. That changed everything for me to do that. So get out there, find a mentor. The other thing, the last thing, the biggest barrier on the world, and we got to talk about it, are opinions of others. Holy crap. Everybody, quit listening to the negative reviews. We all see that within our practice, right? We've got the crazy positive and we got the crazy negative, and we all know that they're both crazy because usually reality is somewhere in the middle. And what I would challenge to anybody when we start looking at digital technology or any technology is talk to people who are using it day to day and have been pretty successful with it. That maybe they're not the main stage speaker or the KOLs for the companies, but they're just people that have the technology. They paid for it. I think that's important, that talk to people that actually paid for the equipment and see what their opinion is. Because so many times we listen to those that say, I can't. And one of my favorite quotes on the planet, and I have no idea who said it, so I apologize if somebody knows. If somebody does know, tell me. But it goes that, honeybees do not waste their time explaining to flies why honey is sweeter than shit. And as funny as that is, it like resonated so hard. I'm like, hey, sit here, and I tried to articulate and advocate for things to people that A, just don't get it, don't care to get it. But B, we also listen to people's opinions that just don't get who and what we want to become. And there's nothing wrong with people. There's nothing wrong with having friends that may have a different opinion with you. But it's like, when it comes to advocating for your personal growth and everything, surround yourself by a tribe of people who believe in you and advocate for you. And don't just tell you why you can't do things. And when you start surrounding yourself by people like that, all of a sudden, all these opportunities just exponentially blossom. And it is amazing when they do. And when you find your tribe, you will ride or die for them. It's awesome. So guys, technology, like I said, when I talk to everybody and all these barriers of everything, it really always comes down to the same things of, it costs too much, the learning curve's too high, it takes too much time, and oh, you can't do this. Literally, that's what it is. What I want to advocate for is that what digital technology does for your clinical dentistry is it opens the doors to do so much more than you ever realized. And that is amazing. When you can see your team members go from literally just suctioning spit and blood to placing their own restorations, designing surgical guides, designing occlusal guards, managing aligners, doing ortho, like all of a sudden, there's so much joy that happens with that process of seeing others succeed. And I really would encourage you to do that. We live in a world where literally a rising tide raises all ships. Like as cliche as that is, it's so true. The other thing I want to advocate for is take small accountable or small steps. Small steps. Don't spend $300,000 on some crazy thing. Start small. Buy a freaking digital camera. If you don't have a digital camera, like just DM me. Let's talk about this. Like you need a camera. Like start with a camera. And then we'll go from there and we'll build a foundation that helps you level up into whatever avenue is within dentistry that you want to do. And what I want you to understand is that what you think you want to do today may be drastically different than what you actually do tomorrow. And don't underestimate that. It's amazing to see what you can do. We've talked about in the past, like we overestimate what we can do in a year, but we underestimate what we can do a decade. So don't underestimate what is possible within your practice. You may not think you can do that all in X surgery, but my gosh, within a year or two, or like you could be doing that easily. So don't underestimate what you can do. The other thing is have accountability. Find people in your life that will hold you accountable. Find those mentors that will inspire you, but challenge you. That is the key to progress. So find those people. They're here for you. Okay. I'm here for you. There's so many people here for you. So let's do it. The other thing is know your why. Don't just buy crap because somebody told you to do it. Know your why. Know what you want to do with it. Have a plan. At least have a starting point. Start with something that you think you want to do and then see where it goes. The worst thing that happens is you buy something and you thought you wanted to do it and then you go, you know what? I don't want to do this. That's okay. Pivot, move on. But at least now I don't want to do this. I want to do this. Like in my practice personally, like I no longer see kids under 13. I eliminated all children out of my practice. Not that I hate kids. I love my kids. For me, I started seeing all kid birth to death, and I found out that wasn't for me. And what brought me happiness was seeing older people, not children. And that's the direction I moved. And so figure out what you want to do and pivot. That's okay. But what I want to do is let's circle back to, like I said, why I've been gone for so long. And that was my best friend that dealing with his brain tumor, which like I said, he's doing okay now. But like I said, he's a nurse anesthetist that defines himself as a nurse anesthetist, like anesthesia is everything to him. And what I'm seeing in him right now is seeing him struggle, and it kills me because he's such a great human and he is struggling with his identity and the reality that he may not be able to do anesthesia. And I believe that so many of us see dentistry as our identity, and we are so much more than that. And I think if we really reflect at the core of why we went into dentistry, what we love to do, what brings us joy in our daily practice, we'll realize that dentistry does not define us. The interactions with people define us. And for me, technology has allowed me to interact with people on a scale that I never imagined, whether it's education or doing this podcast or treating my patients or my family or team members. But my identity is not tied to dentistry. I am not a dentist. That is not who I am. I am a person that loves influencing and helping people and providing my family and myself with a life that makes memories and creates a culture around that. That is what it's about for me. And so I want to challenge all of you to move beyond being just a dentist and look at what really inspires you. Don't let all of these other barriers get into the way of you becoming the best version of yourself. So you hung out with me here tonight, you guys. I appreciate it. This was a fun one for me because I really wanted to share my story of my friend because so many of you guys sent so many prayers for us, and I greatly appreciate that. But I also wanted to hopefully articulate why dentistry is so amazing, why technology is so amazing, and why we got to get out of our own heads. The new year's upon us. Just pick one thing. If it's an intraoral scanner, do that. If it's a camera, do that. If it's a cone beam, do that. But pick one thing to integrate in your practice to level up your team, to inspire team, impact your patients in a way you never realized, and you will be shocked at how much fun you have doing this. So next week, we are going to be back. We will have more of our guests back. So rest assured, I didn't go anywhere, but I appreciate you guys. I love you guys. We will see you next time. Until then, keep smiling and we'll check you later. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe so you get notified when all the new content is released. And don't forget to rate, review, and share this podcast with all your friends and colleagues. For more information about all things happening within the 3D Dentist family, follow us at www.3d-dentist.com. Thanks for listening, and I hope you are leaving with new insights to help transform and level up your practice. Until next time, keep smiling.